Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
On my morning run every day, I pass by the building near my house. And every time I pass it, I say a word of thanks. Other North Carolinians are grateful too. A friend of mine told me last week, the Institute of Government has made all the difference in our state. Well, lots of us still call it the Institute, but its official name is the School of Government. And today that school serves local government officials from all over the state. It sponsors hundreds of classes and schools and conferences that serve thousands of public officials every year, and its faculty and staff handle 100,000 requests for assistance every year, and they do much more. But the school's beginnings were modest and were the product of one man's dream. In 1923, when he finished Harvard Law School, Albert Coates passed by chance to return to his hometown of Smithfield to practice law. I had a feeling, he wrote later, that there was something I could do at Chapel Hill that I could not do at Smithfield, something I could do in a law school that I could not do in a law office, though I couldn't spell it out, the difference in words. And he said, this is a turning point in my life, and it was a turning point for North Carolina as well. Here's how I got started. To improve his criminal law teaching at Carolina, Coates traveled around the state to see what his students would experience when they graduated and started practicing law. And he accompanied police on their rounds, and he watched law enforcement officials present their cases in courts. And something else happened. Here's how Coates explained it. I soon found out that law enforcing officers needed to know what I had learned from studying the books as badly as I needed to know what they had learned from working on the job. So I started swapping my research for their experience, my knowledge of criminal law in the books for their knowledge of criminal law in action. Something else happened. The people that Coates met on his travels started coming to Chapel Hill to ask his advice about things. And in the late 1920s, he hosted conventions and other gatherings and conferences where officials studied the laws that affected their jobs and learned the practical ways to comply with them. In 1931, the year that is recognized as the beginning of the Institute, or the school as we now call it, Governor Omax Gardner presided at the opening of a two-day school with about 300 local officials. It was a big deal. And the governor said that, as he saw it, no single university program carried greater promise for the people of this state. Well, that's just the beginning. And with the help of his wife, Gladys, and with donations that Coates solicited from businesses and wealthy people across the state, the Institute became the go-to place for local government officials to learn their jobs and get help with their problems. The first years of that Institute were largely funded by the financial resources or the financial sacrifices of Coates and his wife, Gladys, who was his enthusiastic and essential partner. Well, later, UNC Chapel Hill made the Institute an official part of the university, and, well, the rest is history. I'm still going to say thank you every time I pass the School of Government building every morning. This is D.G. Martin.